WMFO.
Are they?
WMFO in Medford. This is Sky Bar. I'm going to be up in about 9 minutes with Ruby Rose Fox. She's on her way up now. But first, I'm going to play. First, I'm going to play a song by a. This song's called Thoughts and Prayers, and it's new stuff by Drive-By Truckers. And a lot of times you hear that, you hear about thoughts and prayers after those mass shootings, schoolyard shootings. And I myself think that's a little empty. It's a nice sentiment and all, but I think it's a little hollow. I think a lot more should be done. So I'm going to play this song called Thoughts and Prayers, but then I'll be right back in about, I would say, 9 minutes with Ruby Rose Fox. And after that, it'll be all Ruby. So allow me this, and we'll be back. WMFO in Medford. This is new Drive-By Truckers.
Someone to blame, never anywhere to hide. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. This white noise in my head, I think I need a filter, a pressure valve to keep from blowing up. And when the shit comes down, I pray I can rise above it. Hold me closer when I've had enough. Thoughts and prayers, thoughts and prayers. Glory, hallelujah, you are in our thoughts and prayers. Glory, hallelujah, you are in our thoughts and prayers.
All out, drain the swamp for real. Perp walked him down.
down the Capitol steps. Show them how it feels. Tramp the dirt down Jesus. You can pray the rod they'll spare. Stick it up your ass with your useless thoughts and prayers. Stick it up your ass with your useless thoughts and prayers.
WMFO in Medford. I'm here with Ruby Rose Fox, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate this because I respect all that you sing about, what you write about, some of the stuff you post about, what you stand for. So I really appreciate you coming in. And before that, we just heard Ruby Rose Fox's Blue Angel going way back. I should say it opened up with Drive-By Truckers, a song called Thoughts and Prayers. But you were on in 2016 with the domestic release. So it's been a lot's happened since then.
Sure, yeah. Tons of, lots have happened since then.
And you were busy today even, right?
This even today, yes.
So what drives you to continue? Like a lot of artists, even local artists and artists in general, they like find one thing, one genre, one format, and they kind of do that. And that works for a lot of people, but you tend to bounce around. You tend to do different things, like these workshops, the one-woman play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it just to do, what drives you to do different, I guess, forms of music?
I guess I'm just always pushing myself to expand as a person.
Yeah.
And so I kind of just follow the instinct of, like, whatever is the next challenge. And at a certain point, I needed to challenge myself in my songwriting, and I needed to challenge my shows. I felt like it was time to incorporate theater again with my music, since theater was my background. So it's more just like I'm following the creative voice.
Yeah. Like domestic was, I'm going to play something off domestic in a bit, but domestic was, you did that more like as I remember going to the release show, and that was more like a band thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And, like it, and was Salt band. Pretty much the one woman theater
yeah,
thing?
Yeah, and Salt wasn't really made with a band. I mean, the record is somewhat orchestral and made with a mellotron and lacking a lot of, time.
So there, right there, you have two different, two pretty different releases.
Really different records, for sure, yeah. Yeah, super different.
And I didn't even know this, but you just told me you were in Chicago now.
Mm-hmm.
In November?
Yeah, November.
Moved to Chi-Town.
Yeah.
So you're here, like, touring. I know you have some shows slated.
Yeah, we played Oberon last week and then Framingham. And then this Friday, two shows. I'm doing the Leonard Cohen show early and then a band show late up in Portsmouth at the Press Room. Then Preservation Hall on the Cape and then Bowery Electric in New York.
Solo.
Is that solo. That's a solo gig, yeah.
So you're running the gamut right there. You have a solo gig. You're doing the You and Me and Leonard Cohen thing.
Yeah.
You're doing a band thing.
Uh-huh.
All that stuff. We're going to get into You, Me, and Leonard Cohen in a bit, but I want to play something off of Domestic, and we'll come back and we'll babble a bit more. This is off of Domestic. I like this CD a lot.
Get the gist, relax, this on fails. It's a constant rerun. He's looking at me now like he's gonna pull a big gun. He hit me, I took a shot. He kissed me, and I forgot. I kill him every time I tell. In tongues, oh, here's the holy hyperbole. He says he wants to marry me. I say,
We're back. That was Every Time You Tell off of Domestic. A little bit about that song.
Oh, yeah. That song was about being in a super abusive relationship. And I think I had the idea for the music video before I had an idea for the song. But, you know, just imagining... just how embarrassing it is to have to tell your friends and family what is going on. And you kind of, I think a lot of people who know that song think it's about like revenge, but it, mm-hmm. for me, it's more about like the process of
getting out.
You ruin someone's perfect image in your head. You know, when something bad happens, it's not really made real until you talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's what that song's about.
I love that song. I play that a lot. Me, You, and Leonard Cohen.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about Leonard Cohen, but I started to look him up after I knew you were doing that thing. How does he speak to you? Like, what was the start of all that?
Oh, gosh. I mean, he is the reason I started songwriting. I was studying Zen in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and had his poetry book with me, and we weren't really allowed to listen to music, but I was kind of sneaking listening to music in my little dorm, and we were meditating up to like 6 hours a day, and it was just, his music was like meeting a family member, and my maiden name is Cohen, so there was sort of a familial feeling about him, and the way he used language was so surprising and ironic and biting. And yet it was clear that he was kind of doing that kind of spiritual work that you tend to do in your mid-20s. And I just felt like I wanted to do what he was doing.
And initially, he wasn't a singer, am I right there?
He was a poet, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then he actually became a singer because he thought he could make money, more money doing it, which is actually true. I mean, when I went from theater to music, I was like, wow, you can make a lot more money in music than theater, which is really sad.
Right, because music is so hard to make money
in. Exactly. So, yeah. But he's been a huge muse to me my whole career. And like when he died, I felt like I lost a family member. It was really, really weird.
Is that when you decided it was a... After his death, you decided to do the Me, You, and Leonard Cohen thing, or was it before that?
It was after, I think, a long break that I took from music. I think I took about like 6 months to myself. And then when I started wanting to sing again, I decided to do it. And I had never done covers, refused to do live covers in my sets, because I felt like if Leonard Cohen ever gave me advice, his advice would be just play your own damn songs, you know?
Yeah.
So... But I felt like I was ready and that I wanted to explore them, and it meant a lot to me, and that it wasn't going to be like a kitschy cover thing. It was going to be authentic to me. So
I bet you a lot of people didn't know a whole lot about him prior to you doing this.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
And they were just big fans of yours, and they were probably like, whatever Ruby's going to do, I'm going to go to.
Yeah. But actually, it's funny. Before I did that show, I was talking to a guy I didn't really know that well at a party, and I said, sort of like in a nervous way, I said, you know, I don't really know what I'm going to do next. And he was like, well, isn't that kind of your thing?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I guess that is my thing, and that's what I'll do. So, yeah.
So that's cool. I'm going to play some Leonard Cohen.
Awesome.
And we're going to play something. You'll say, oh, that one, I'm sure, once you hear it. But you'll find out. And I'm going to play something off Salt, too.
Oh, cool.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk about some other stuff.
What makes a stranger a stranger? What makes a bad guy a villain? What makes a villain worth killing? No, we should know. I won't tell you like a baby, and I know you held me too. So warm and easy, they follow you. Oh, mellow come down, it hears your notice. I've got this twisted heart instead of a loaded gun. Oh, mellow come down, it hurts your notice. If I lost my mind,
I'm not afraid to die. spend the night beside her, and you know she's half crazy. That's why you wanna be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell her you have no love to give her, she gets you on her wavelength. She lets the river answer. You've always been her lover, and you want to travel with her. You want to travel blind, and you know you will trust her, for she's touched your perfect body with her mind. Now Suzanne takes your hand, she leads you to the river. She is wearing rags and feathers from Salvation Army counters. The sun pours down like honey on Our Lady of the Harbor, and she shows you where to look amid the garbage and the flowers. There are heroes in the seaweed, children in the morning. They are leaning out for love. They will lean that way forever while Suzanne holds the mirror. And you want to travel with her. You want to travel blind, and you know that you will find her, for you've touched her perfect body with your mind. Yes, and Jesus was a sailor when he walked upon the water, and he spent a long time watching from a lonely wooden tower. When he knew for certain only drowning men could see him, he said all men will be sailors then, until the sea shall free them. But he himself was broken long before the sky would open. Forsaken, almost human, he sank beneath your wisdom like a stone. To travel with him, you want to travel blind, and you know you will trust him, for he's touched your perfect body with his mind.
We didn't know we were going to get live Leonard Cohen, but that was some live Leonard Cohen, the song Suzanne. And what did I play? American Daddy off of Salt, I think it was.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Salt?
Sure. Salt was, I mean, Salt was coming right around the Me Too movement time. And I was kind of like struggling with a lot of musical artists.
Yeah.
Like Lou Reed. Who, you know, people, you know, had bad stories about, and they were kind of coming out after he died. And so Salt was kind of a, you know, me imagining Caroline from Caroline Says coming out of the record from Lou Reed's Berlin. So
you put thought into your songs and your records and albums, and not just... Which is kind of cool. They're not just kind of off-the-cuff things, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I come
it's
from
like
theater,
you do some
so
research
in that way. Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are based off documentaries. I'm just a big nerd, and I love...
I remember the documentary thing from before.
Mm-hmm, the Ronald Reagan song.
Yes. Going back to the domestic thing.
Yeah.
Release.
Mm-hmm. But this record was definitely more of a... was conceived out of a response to... Lou Reed's Berlin, and yeah, and just me wanting to be a little bit free from the band and make my own voice and put my hand in producing a little bit.
Yeah, and it's so hard. I imagine. Because in a way, it's harder now to get music out there. Would you think it's it would be easier because there's so many formats? Like you can go on Spotify and iTunes and you can... But it's almost like, I think, harder to find it. It's almost like there's too much.
There is. Well, yeah, there's... I mean, we're
like in
so
the olden
saturated.
Days, you had to get the thing to a damn radio station.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. I mean, you kind of have to just get out there and be performing. The way to get people to listen to your music is just to perform.
Yeah.
It's every once in a while, you know, it could get on like a Spotify playlist. I think most of my plays on Spotify are because we got placed in Rock Band, the game.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of gamers who spin us because of that game. So every once in a while, like a really lucky thing will happen.
It's got to be somewhat fluky.
It's fluky for sure.
Damn.
And you just got to make what you make and you know, try to make enough money to survive and
to be like a working musician. It's mm-hmm. not easy.
No, there's nothing easy about it. Not one thing.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you said, or you posted, I guess, for lack of a better word, that I just, as I said, I listen to a lot of, I read a lot of what you post, and I find it quite entertaining, I guess, and informative too. And like, there was recently, it was about the Boston Music Awards, mm-hmm. and you've gotten a ton of awards, but you said it really did nothing for, like, career wise it doesn't do a ton for you.
No, it doesn't do anything for you.
But it as we were talking, you have to just get out there.
Yeah,
is a bigger part. And sometimes, well, you can speak to it better than me, but I think you felt that some people, if they did not get it, like, they started to doubt themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote that post about the Boston Music Awards because, my feed was just full of these really depressed new, like, I wouldn't say new, some of them have been working for a long time.
Yeah.
Musicians who just felt frustrated and, like, really needed and wanted the validation of a Boston Music Award. But, I mean, in terms of, it's not at all connected to the music business, the actual music business. Which
no
is,
one knows who votes or finds these.
Well, I think everybody can kind of nominate and vote now. It's a pretty, like...
There were 1,000 people voting or something.
It's a pretty democratic process, but, you know, it's a local award show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just think that you should always be putting your head down and working and really making music that will connect to an audience. And
yeah.
If that's not your goal, and your goal is validation, like, I just think you should go do something that makes money.
Right.
Why would you do this?
Right.
You know? Why would you want validation from something that's just going to totally, like, destroy your bank account?
Yeah.
So, I'm very wary of, like, attaching any self-worth or anything to an outside object because, I mean, I wrote that because of my own learning and my own, you know, feeling. I mean, I totally got super high on my own awards at points, you know, feeling like really great about myself. And the truth of the matter is, like,
it's nothing to feel bad about, but you can't put too much stock
into
it.
You can't put any stock in it. You just gotta say thank you to the people who acknowledged you. But also, when you don't get seen the way you want to be seen, you can't let it destroy you, and you can't let it doubt who you are and your path as an artist, because you'll be destroyed. I mean, you'll let the ocean just totally rip you up.
Yeah.
And so I guess I wrote that post out of sort of a protective, like a mommy, kind of like wanting to protect the little hens from
listen,
like
kids.
Like,
it's going to be okay.
Don't hurt yourself on your need for validation, you know?
Yeah, and we... there's a few things we could go with here, but obviously there was quite a bit of backlash by older white women and guys and people in general over the past Super Bowl. And I just think, again, we'll get into this in a minute too. That's not my style of music. It's not but I thought it was a great show. I thought that, and I think that's I watched with my wife Trish, and she said that's how Latin people dance. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just went Brazilian dancing in Chicago, and there were these women there that were in very similar outfits to the outfits that J-Lo had on, and it was super sexy and super empowered, and they were wearing sequins, and Yeah, I mean, it's very clearly cultural. And I mean, it's been interesting to leave Massachusetts for a little while, because when you do, you realize how just the level of puritanical, crazy shaming we do here.
You think it's higher here than in...
Oh, yeah. You become like 30% sexier just by like leaving the area. I swear to God.
Just by getting out, just by getting out of Dodge, you ramped it up.
I don't know. Maybe I'm exaggerating, but that's how I feel.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the shaming of other cultures for being, you know, too sexual, it's racist.
Yeah, and racist. And there was no, like, the year before, I don't even know the guy's name, one of those maroon guys.
Well,
was running around topless.
But look at the cheerleaders. I mean, we're with the, you know, the white cheerleaders
game.
With no clothes on. And let me tell you, I was a cheerleader. And cheerleading is only a sport up until college because they compete. But after that, football cheerleading, I'm going to get probably slammed for this, but like, NFL cheerleaders are dancers.
Right.
They don't compete. They're not sportsmen like other cheerleaders are.
It's a flesh show.
Yeah, it's
totally.
So you guys want to get upset about these two incredibly talented women who are both producers and super intelligent just because some camera guy like put the shot on a part of their body that wasn't appropriate, that had, you know, they had no control over. So I guess, I don't know. I got fired up over it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, come on, New England. You should have a little more sex and just chill.
I felt the same. Yeah. All right.
What do you do?
8:40. This is WMFO Medford. Ruby Rose Fox is here. And you have a new single. Mm-hmm. Came out yesterday.
Yeah.
And I managed to...
Rip
I'm
it.
Not skilled. I'm really not. But I managed to,
You ripped
to
it.
To get it. Well, I have to, like, see, I can't just, I download things, and I can hear them, but my problem is that, then burning it onto a CD that I can play in the station, and I was able to do that, so played in my house, and it plays in my car, so we'll see. This is the new single, Stalker, and we're going to talk, again, obviously, a bit about that when I come back, but... Where do I have that stuck in? CD2? I'm not sure. Hey, this should be it. We'll be back in a bit.
Thank you. can you love someone you haven't cried over yet? I'm watching you.
Ourselves a question every day that affected the outcome of the most basic things, the most important things in our lives. The question is, what is your sexual orientation or gender identity? And the answer is the difference between keeping your job or getting fired. The answer is the difference between staying in your home or getting evicted. The answer is the difference between receiving medical treatment or not. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against people based on their answer to this question. LGBT Americans have the right to say, I do, but they don't have the same basic rights as everyone else. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
That was the required public service announcement that we get to play once an hour. There's your new single, Stalker. Little electronic vibe there.
Yeah.
As we were talking a lot, you do like to do different things, and I guess that's a good example of that.
Yeah, that was a collaboration with a guy in town named Rain, who is an electronic artist, mm-hmm. and we collaborated on that. I had a totally different song called Stalker, and then kind of put it into his beats, so... Yeah, it was really fun.
Did you meet him here? How'd you meet him? Did you meet him here?
Yeah, just through the scene, yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, there's not a lot of guys doing, I guess what you would call lo-fi or down-tempo beats, which I really like, so, yeah.
Yeah, we were talking off here about how different genres, I myself don't like people that put down a whole entire genre because it's... there's a lot of stuff that I don't play on here, but it doesn't mean I don't like the sound or the... And I just think it's narrow-minded to shut down an entire... Like, a lot of people might have a problem with electronic music.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to listen to all types.
Right.
And you can generally find something in there that you like, if not all of, but there's usually something about... Like, I like some country music, but...
Sure.
Certainly not a lot of it.
Yeah.
But some of it. So
agreed.
I think that's important to do. So,
agreed.
You have, as you said, you have the three shows coming
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're back to, I guess, Chicago. Oh, we didn't even, you got a book coming out.
Oh, yeah.
It's 8:47 o'clock. Imagine we almost got out of here without talking about the book.
Yeah.
And a little about the book.
Yeah, so working title is The Gift of Stage Fright. Nervous System and Acting for Musical Performers. So it's based on something called polyvagal theory, which is, it's how to navigate your nervous system. It's really more about like the matrix of the nervous system. Like, how does it actually work? And when you find out, it's actually quite like a system that you can navigate.
You can figure it out.
You can navigate it better. It's like if somebody dropped me in Chicago without a map, I'd be horrified. But with a map, I can play and have fun and I can mm-hmm. explore. So I'm just giving people sort of the lay of the land of how it shifts and changes. And it was what was lacking in my training as an actor. And the theory that I use is called the science of safety. So it's really about connection in the end, but it's also just about like safety within yourself and finding it with your audience.
Yeah. And you do you've done workshops about this?
Yes.
Did one today? Did you one today?
Yeah, I did one at a homeless shelter today.
Hopped
it was really
over
fun.
Here after that.
So
that was how was that?
How was
that experience with at the homeless shelter?
Oh, you know, I was a little nervous. To be honest with you, because I usually teach people about their nervous systems, and I'm usually convincing them that if they feel unsafe, they're probably actually safe. But for homeless communities, they are actually going to face real situations that are not safe.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was amazing, and they really were responsive to it. And yeah, somebody gave me a big hug today, and she said,
"It must feel great to have, because that's quite rewarding, I imagine, right?"
Yeah, it's super rewarding.
And it's part of what you're trying to do with music and with talking and just help people out.
Yeah, I mean, I think any musician, I mean, not to be really dorky about it, but any musician, like, their goal should be to regulate the nervous system of the room to make people feel good.
Yeah.
And so I'm just kind of offering a more advanced version of that for performers so that they can make their audiences feel amazing, but yeah, also that they can feel great, because the name of the game in music is longevity. And if you're burnt out all the time and you are sick and you are tired and you are not taking care of yourself, you are not going to be able to live a long life in the arts, because like you said before, it's really difficult.
Yeah.
So it's just something I'm super fired up about and passionate about.
When are you shooting for getting the book out?
It's definitely going to be out by the spring. I'm just kind of deciding whether I want to self-publish or look for a publisher. So.
Yeah. Well, thanks a ton for coming in.
Yeah, thank you always for having me. It's always great to see you.
Well, now you're not around here a whole lot now. Oop, there go my glasses. I'm blind now. I can't type anything more in. But so you won't be around, but when you do, yeah, you're always welcome back. Always interesting.
Thank you.
Good stuff to talk about.
It's great to see you. Thanks for having
me.
Yeah,
but it's 8:51, so I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to play some new stuff. Yeah, they're still kicking. Ruby mentioned they're still putting music out. This is new stuff by Anti-Flag. It's a bit on the political side, which a lot of their stuff is. So I'm going to play this. We've got a couple more songs before we get out of here. But thanks once again, Ruby. Good luck in the shows this week and back in Chicago.
Thank you. Thank
Alrighty.
You so much.
Here's Anti-Flag. WMFO in Medford. It's 8:55. And play one more. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot. Peace. Stay tuned. LFOD Radio is next. Always a fine show. See ya.
Hurt me so.